Peace, party people. Welcome back to Where My Killer Tape At. This is episode 111. I know, just like Rakim, it's been a long time. Definitely, this one we're going to talk about why black lives still matter. And we're also going to talk about if you don't wear your mask, you're being anti-black. I'm going to do a quick review of the book Promise of Shadows by Justina Ireland and Buster's new album ELE 2. And let's talk about the Democrats for a minute. Let's talk about 45 and voting. Word. Check it out. Killer tape at, B. Man, it feels like forever since I've done this. For this episode 111 of Where My Killer Tape At, I am sipping on What the French. It's a imperial stout with milk sugar, cinnamon, maple, and vanilla by the Brewing Project. Word is born, an independent brewery. And shout out to the Bauer House for this one. Word. Let me say this. We're almost at the home stretch, right? Today is December 13th, and they're going to start giving out COVID vaccines this week to, you know, healthcare workers, frontline workers. So, yo, that's dope. I think, you know, we're at the home stretch, right? We're like at the last inning. I'm going to say this, though, and I want to be clear, all right? If you do not wear a mask, you are anti-black. If you do not wear a mask, you are anti-Latinx. And I say this because, and if you don't keep, you know, social distancing guidelines, all that, you know, if you don't go to parties, if you don't go to big giant dinners and shit, like, if you're doing those things, if you're going to these things, man, you anti-black and you anti-Latinx. We know that black people are 2.1 times more likely to contract COVID and 2 times more likely to die from COVID. And the same thing goes for Latinx people. I think for Latinx people, it's a little bit higher. We were talking about, I think it's 2.5 times more likely to contract COVID and almost 3 times as likely to die from COVID. So this is probably the reason why a lot of white folks are like, fuck that. That shit ain't really happening to us like that. So, and I get more deeper into the numbers, but I don't think I need to do that. You know what I mean? So like, yo, wear your mask, you know what I mean? And don't put it under your nose. You know, social distance guidelines, you know, apply that and don't go to events such as concerts. Don't go to events such as big dinners with 30, 40 people. Don't go to anniversaries and weddings because you can, you know, like, I get it. Like, you can go to these events and you can try to do the social distancing stuff as much as possible. But at a certain point, because we're humans, right? And I'm a hugger, right? I like to hug people. I'm known for my hug. That's like I'm known for that. And I know to comfort people, that's the first thing we automatically want to do. So I know that I can't go to these events. So don't go to these events. Don't do that. And the thing is, here's the deal, man. It's really about trust. You know what I mean? Because you got to trust that the other person that you're seeing, you know what I mean, is following the guidelines. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times people are not. You know, I'm seeing a lot of people who are contracting COVID online and they're asking themselves, I don't know how I got it, when clearly we see you acting like it's 2019. And again, I'm going to say this to you. If you are not wearing your mask, if you are not following the guidelines, if you refuse to get a vaccine, you know, you anti-black and you anti-Latinx. That's I'm going to leave it just like that. I'm not even going to try to argue with folks. It's just how I see it. Because once again, this disease affects black and brown people way more than it affects white people. And again, I just got to call it like I see it. Word. That is not a typo in the title of this episode. That chorus. And I got it from the homie Bushy Babe on Twitter. She has sent me a tweet about somebody saying, if you can say this course, you can say that course. And I was like, I'm going to use that. Can I use that? As long as I shouted her out. So this is the shout out to her for that. I know I've been about a month off since I released an episode, and there was a reason for that. I didn't want to. First of all, the election was like, wow. So I really try to stay away from everything. And I get this from my blogging days. You know, people used to like really get mad at me because they wanted to hear what my opinion about a particular subject. And I would usually give myself about 2 to 3 weeks before I actually write about a subject. Because I know that a lot of times how I feel as soon as something goes down, it's not really how I'm going to end up feeling later on. So I like to like sit and dwell in stuff for a little bit. You know, just marinating it and then talk about it. So I wanted to give about a month before I do another episode. And I do want to talk about how I felt about, you know, the presidential election and everything. And because there were some things that I predicted that was wrong. And then there were some things that, actually happened. Like, let me just say this. 45 would have won if we didn't have this pandemic. I sincerely believe that. And then you can see by the numbers that, you know, like a lot of people really wanted him to win. And I think what happened was not just the pandemic, but also the fact that he caught it and people in his inner circle caught it and continue to catch it. And I think a lot of people lost confidence in him. So that's really, you know, other than that, I knew that Biden was going to win. That I knew because of COVID. Like, you know, and I remember talking to people saying, oh, yeah, Biden's going to win. But I felt it was because of COVID. If COVID never happened, Trump would have another term. Because if you go back to my last episodes, the previous episode, all the way back when, you'll see that I said that 45 is going to have another term. So here we go. Y'all ready? And I think everybody kind of predicted how 45 was going to act after he realized he lost. And you know, it's funny because reporters did ask him what was he going to do if he lost. You know what I'm saying? And I just want to say this about 45. Like, you would, man, how do I say this without, like, he's a scammer. And it's funny because, like, I've been a victim of scams. You know what I mean? And what I've learned is that it's very difficult to admit you got scammed. And there are times when I've been scammed that it took me about 2 years later when I thought about it. And I was like, yeah, man, I got scammed. It's not a good feeling. It's not a good feeling to admit publicly. My point is that 45 scammed the GOP. 45 scammed the people he voted for, right? And I'm going to give you an example, right? He said he was going to build a wall, right? And let me, I remember when he said he was going to build a wall, right, to separate the United States from Mexico. I remember when he said it, and the first thing I thought about was the Star Wars program, right? And the Star Wars program was this program that Ronald Reagan, it wasn't his idea, it was his advisor's idea, but he kind of promoted it. And what he was going to do was he was going to spend all this money creating these satellites that had like missiles and lasers and stuff, and kind of like shield almost, right, to protect the United States from, you know, into ballistic missiles, you know, that came from the Soviet Union. And at that time, it's not that we didn't have the technology for it. This is that the cost was going to be astronomical. And I remember, the Reagan administration didn't really have an actual number. But I know his political opponents threw out numbers, right? And it was in the trillions, right? And they were asking, well, how are you going to pay for it? And I know there were some people who joked about it because they kept referring to it as a Star Wars program. And let me just say this. It was never built. So when 45, during his presidential run, was talking about building a wall, the first thing that came to my mind was, you out of your fucking mind. You know what I'm saying? And people, anyway, my point is that his man that resigned is in trouble because he did a GoFundMe for the wall and people actually paid millions of dollars. You know, enough people, I'm not saying one donor, but a lot of people sent their hard-earned money to that build the wall GoFundMe. And my point is that he's a scammer. 45 is a scammer. And what he's been doing the whole time he's been in office is he's just been scamming the American people. He's been scamming the GOP. But the thing is that nobody is ready to admit that they got scammed. You know what I'm saying? So there are people now like Mitch McConnell who are, you know, going to the front to fight for him. And he was scammed too. You know what I mean? If anything, he scammed the GOP more than anybody else because they thought they can ride his coattails and do whatever they need to get the power that they wanted, and it ain't work out that way. So just like Trump University, right? Right? That was a scam. He scammed the people that went to that school, and he's going to do it again. He's not going to run in 2024. Why? Because he's going to probably run another scam. You know what I mean? And again, by 2024, a lot of people still won't be able to publicly admit that they got scammed. And that's the essence of what 45 is. He's a scammer. He did it when he was a real estate mogul, right? He was scamming people. He does it to this day. He scams everybody. Matter of fact, not only does he scam people, he leaves people with the bill. Look at all those bus drivers during all his, you know, rallies, right? He didn't pay them fools, and they got scammed. And, you know, they can go to court or whatever, whatever, but they never going to get their money. And that's just how he operates. And, you know, this is a scam. You know what I mean? And I wish people would recognize that. We all got scammed, but the GOP got scammed the worst. Now, the wild part is that, and I'm not a Democrat, nor did I claim to be. I did vote for Biden. But there's this discussion in the Democratic Party about the quote-unquote radical left. And let me just say something right now. I am on the radical left. I'm on the extreme left. I'm not an anarchist, but I'm on the extreme left. And I quite honestly, I don't know anybody who's on my team who claims to be a Democrat. Yeah, a lot of times we end up voting for Democrats because they're the ones that have the politics that are as close to us as humanly possible. But oftentimes we're just very different. But like I said, I don't know anybody that considers himself that's a radical leftist who says, hey, I'm a card-carrying Democrat. I know the right likes to, you know, the conservatives like to say that they like to accuse the Democrats of being leftist, and most of them are not. Most of them are not. Even Bernie Sanders is, I don't consider him, and I know it's because I'm all the way on the left. So anybody to the right of me don't look leftist. You know what I'm saying? So I get that. But I hear a lot of people throw words around like social Democrats. Like, ain't no such thing as a social Democrat. You're either a socialist or you're a Democrat. You might be a Democrat who might like some things that socialists might dig, but it don't come together. You know what I mean? Like it's not the same thing. And I know that when it comes to the discussion of the political spectrum, a lot of us are just extremely uneducated on it. And I know a lot of the stuff we get from the mainstream media. Anyway, my point in this DAT course is that there's a discussion that the problem with the Democrats meeting the people is that there's too many leftists in that camp. And I disagree with that statement for two reasons. And I already stated the first reason, right? Because me and a radical left, I'm a socialist. I don't know anybody who's a card carrying Democrat. You know what I'm saying? There are no socialists in the Democratic Party. And what I mean by that, I mean by the official Democratic Party. Because I know people who consider themselves Democrats who are not card carrying Democrats. You know what I'm saying? I mean, don't get me wrong. They will always vote on the Democratic side. You know, they support them and talk about them, but they're not like card carrying Democrats, right? But in that card-carrying Democratic Party, there are no socialists. You know, even Bobby Rush is no longer a socialist, and Bobby Rush was a member of the Black Panther Party. The second thing I want to say is that there's this idea that you got to convince people to come into your politics, and you have to meet them in a particular way. I disagree with that because what I've learned is that most people, whatever line they vote on, they pretty much vote that way their entire lives. True and D, you run into people who used to be a Republican and now they're Democrats and vice versa. I see that happen. I've seen people who were once, you know, for example, Jerry Rivers, right? Jerry Garcia, right? Right? Geraldo Rivera, my bad, because his name was Jerry Rivers. I apologize for Jerry Garcia, but Geraldo Rivera, He used to be down with the Young Lords Party. He wasn't a member, but he was a socialist. And now he's a conservative, right? Yeah, those stories happen, true indeed. But most people, whatever their politics are, they usually like that their entire lives. You know what I'm saying? And they might change on a couple of positions, right? You might have a Democrat who's pro-choice, right? You might have a Republican who's pro-abortion, right? So you know, like, you know, let me take that back. You might have a Democrat who's quote-unquote pro-life. You might have a Republican who's pro-choice, right? But, you know, ultimately, they're going to always vote down the same. They're going to always, you could predict how they're going to vote. And to me, there's no such thing as undecided voters. They're just scared to admit what they want to do. They know who they're going to vote. When they get in that booth, they know who they're going to vote for, right? So my point being is that there's a small population of people that you have to convince to change their politics, right? And a lot of times people might change. They might say, I'm a Democrat and vote for a Republican because they might, you know, be down for issues that they're down. You know what I'm saying? So there's this idea that the Democratic Party has to change what their message is to meet more people. And no, I disagree with that. Why? Because most Americans are inherently racist. Excuse me. Most white Americans are inherently racist. And those racists will always vote against their better interests because whatever party that's you know, saying the racist shit is that's who they're going to vote for. Right. And it doesn't take rocket science to explain this. It is what it is. And if anything, the 45's administration has proven that to be true. The reason why he came into power is exactly that, right? That most white Americans are racist. It's plain and simple. You know, you don't have to be a card-carrying member of the KKK to be racist. That's just, I don't know there's no way for me to dice it differently. That's exactly what's going on in the United States of America. And we saw that. Over 60 million people voted for 45. That's all you need to know. That's proof is right there in those numbers. He won in 2016. The proof is there in those numbers, right? You could do a Venn diagram of people that voted for 45, you know, and you can literally see, yeah, these people are racist. They're rocking Confederate flags. Like, come on. So we're having this discussion about how Democrats should get down. And I'm not a Democrat. I don't have any, you know what I'm saying? Like, they could have that argument. They could have that discussion. But I don't understand where it's coming from. I don't understand why they're saying that. If anything, the Democratic Party does need the radical left, because usually the radical left do. Most people in the radical left do vote for Democratic policies. And, you know, I can go on and on about it. It's something, again, it's a discussion that I avoid. But I kind of feel like it's something that I think people should just admit and discuss and say those kind of things. Because, again, there's this thing that I'm a radical leftist. They assume that I'm a Democrat. Let's talk about defunding the police now, because I know Obama, since his book has come out, he's going around doing this book tour. People are interviewing him, and he made some statements about defund the police. I'm not going to repeat them here, but I know that there's this argument amongst the Democratic Party, against the stalwarts of the Democratic Party, that we should not use the term defund the police. Now, I'm about abolishing the police, so that's where I want to go, right? But there are people who feel like there should be some reforms. And I know that what's happening is, when we say defund the police, depending on what part of the country you are, depending on what part of the state that you're in, defunding the police may mean something different, right? And I know, like, there are people even on the Democratic Party side who are saying, you know, even the most, you know, middle of the road Democrats, they're saying that the police departments are getting a big budget. They're getting huge budgets and they're over militarized. They're saying that, they're admitting that. I think that's something that unless you're conservative, you know what I mean, that you're going to agree with that. You're going to be like, yeah, they have too much equipment, right? Police should not have tanks, right? Police should not have all these SWAT teams to serve warrants, right? And we know that in this country, the SWAT team is used in 3,000 instances is used incorrectly, and people get hurt. So we know that to be a fact. But this is what I think. This is how I get down. What I've learned in American politics is that you go hard to get to a certain medium, right? So it's kind of like lawsuits, right? You hear somebody saying, oh, I'm suing this company for $30 million because you know, I stubbed my toe in the astral turf of Ohio State University, right? I'm not gonna get $30 million for that. But when I go in there, I can settle for $8 million, right? And that's usually how it goes, right? So we're gonna say defund the police. I think, and the reason why I say saying the term defund the police should go is because in some places, let's say for example, I don't use defund the police. Let's say for example, I go to a particular city where, and this happens a lot, so I'm not making this up, where the police department out of the city budget gets 65% of the city budget, right? And I go in there and say, well, you know what? The police should get maybe a quarter of that. Instead of getting 65%, maybe they should get 45%. And guess what's going to happen? They're going to give me pushback, right? That message is going to get pushback, and they probably only get 62% versus 65%. So my job didn't work, right? The whole point didn't work. But if I say defund the police, right? Because when you say defund, what that tells a regular person, layman on the street, is take away all their money, right? Which is not a bad idea, right? they're going to say, okay, we won't defund, but maybe we can give them a 25% decrease in their budget this year, right? That's how that works. And I'm going to get to that in a second as well, right? Or what we need to be doing in between the presidential elections. But anyway, that's where we need to be at. That's why I think saying stuff like abolish the police, right? No one's going to go for that. But they're going to settle for something that's probably better than what I would have gotten if I said something else, right? So if I came in there and said, well, all like what's happening in Columbus, they want the police to wear body cams, which I don't think is going to work, right? Why? That's a different story, right? But the answer that I'm going to get from the police departments is yay or nay, right? And if they say no on body cams, guess what? I don't get shit. You know what I'm saying? But if the message is defund the police, each city could figure out the happy medium that they can come to, right? So if I say defund the police, I might be able to get more healthcare workers to help people that have mental health issues, right? I might be able to get, funding for that so that people don't have to pay for that out of pocket. You see how that works? Whereas if I just say, let's not call police on these kind of issues, and if I lose, the people get nothing. So fuck it, man. Defund the police. Over the week, in Columbus, Ohio, which is the capital of the state that I live in, a young man by the name of Casey Goodson was murdered by Columbus a sheriff's deputy, by the name of Jason Meade. And yes, the coroner has ruled it a homicide. It's, you know, once again, the police have their side of the story, which is, I know it's false, like, because they're saying that they were looking, the sheriff's deputies were looking for some particular individuals, and Casey Goodson happened to drive by, and supposedly he was waving, brandishing a weapon at them. I don't know why people do that shit, but I don't know black people that do that shit, you know what I'm saying? So anyway, they followed him to his apartment. And the sheriff's deputies claim to have told him to put his gun down. Now Casey Goodson, he does have. Anyway, he was buying food for his family, and he had went to Subway, and then he went to open the door, and they shot him. Matter of fact, the keys were still in the door when they shot him, and he fell into his kitchen. So people have been protesting over the weekend. Shout out to the People's Justice Project. I'm gonna put some links in the show notes so you guys know where to donate to if you want to support. Because there's people out there in the streets right now. And it's wild because Columbus is known for that. Like their police are known to be particularly brutal to black and brown people. And again, this will probably happen again. I hate to say it, but you would think that during the pandemic that the police would chill, but clearly not. So definitely shout out to the Goodson family. My hearts are with you. And, you know, a lucha continua and black lives still matter. Word. It's funny, my brother from the same mother, my physical, DJ Diz Dolo, had asked me what I thought the best album of the year was. And I was like sitting down trying to figure out which one was going to be. And then Busta drops Extension Level Event 2, The Rap to God. And it's funny because me and my middle son, we were like watching the promo videos on YouTube, which I think are, they're so corny, they're hilarious. You know what I mean? So like, I was watching it. So I'm a Busta fan. I am a Busta fan. And my two oldest sons are Busta fans. So like, I'm a fan. But the intro videos really had me skeptical. I was like, what the hell is he doing? Because one of them is like in a church and there's like, it reminds me of like Omen and stuff like that. So I was like, what are you doing, Busta? And to be honest, if I didn't know that it was for Busta, I would have thought it was one of those low budget Christian movies about the rapture. You know what I mean? So I was mad skeptical. So he drops it. Shout out to the homie, my homie Jason, because every time somebody drops an album, he like DMs me like, yo, you get this yet? So he had DM'd me like, yo, you got it? And then boom, I downloaded it, and yo, Busta bought that shit. Like, he really, really, really bought that shit. And I love the fact that he got like really dope producers on it. But anyway, the lead single is that Czar joint with he got MOP in it, which I thought was dope. You know, I'm an MOP fan. Just one thing I noticed about the Czar song in the video, he says Gurkha Cigars. I guess it's a brand that he's promoting. And on the album, it says a really good cigar. So I just noticed that. Just throwing that out. Anyway, my biggest issue with Busta is that he has these long intros. You know what I mean? That it's kind of like he's just running his mouth, right? So I kind of like not feeling it. But the intro song, I was listening at work, and I was sweeping up my floor. And on the intro, he has Rakim on it. And I was like, oh, wow. And at first, I was like, yo, is that who I think it is? And it is. And Rakim kills it. One of my favorite songs I listen to in the morning. Actually, I use this to do my esquivas for Capoeira in the morning. Is The Purge, which I wish it was longer. And then he comes up with another favorite of mine is Don't Go with Q-Tip. I know they did a mixtape called The Dragon and the Abstract. I think they need to do, and it really is like a whole bunch of songs they did together over the years. And then it's like a couple of songs. It's like two or three songs that are like brand new. But I think they should do an album together. Like, it would be really dope. Like, I really think that, with Q-Tip on the production and Tip rhyming as well, I think that would be really dope. And this is just a Slow Flow is kind of, excuse me, Don't Go was kind of like a reminder of that. Slow Flow has an old Dirty Bastard, an old rhyme. It's not a new rhyme. So, but I like how they do it. I like how they flip it. And then a song that I play all the time is Boom. Like, oh, I love that joint. He has a video for it that, yo, the videos for these joints are hilarious. Like, you gotta watch it. He has a video with Rick Ross, Masafar Muhammad, which completely has nothing to do with Masafar Muhammad. Like, I think Rick Ross says something about him in his verse, and I don't know. It's a dope song, but it just literally has nothing to do with Masafar Muhammad. But other than that, it's a dope album. It's a little bit too long for my taste. He had like 22 tracks on it. He has Farrakhan on it too. So, but other than that, yo, honestly, I'm gonna say it's the best album on there out here right now. Like, like really for 2020, like he really came hard with it. So that's my take on it. I don't know what y'all think, but let me know what's up. Word. Shout out to my book club. We just, Ebony Red Noir Book Club that I have online. We just finished for the month of October, and I know that I'm super late in reviewing this book, Justina Ireland's Promise of Shadows. And man, I really enjoyed that book. And I'm gonna refer to Rick Riordan a lot in this review. I enjoyed Rick Riordan's Lightning Thief book series. I really did. I read it with my daughter, and then I read it with my youngest. Then they were probably around the same age when my daughter introduced me to it. And then I started reading it with my youngest later on. So, but they were kind of like the same age, early teens. And I really enjoyed it. What Justina Ireland does, who she's freaking amazing. Her Dread Nation zombie novels are just fucking dope. And she's going to be writing stuff for Star Wars real soon. And she did write a Star Wars novel, but she's going to be writing stuff for the High Republic. Anyway, She's fucking dope. Please read her. But I don't even know how we picked Promise of Shadows. I think it was because I didn't want to reread Dread Nation, the series with my book club. I wanted to read something else. I know. I'm sinister in that sense. Anyway, it deals with the Greek gods and how fucked up the Greek gods are. And the main character is Zephyr Morning, who is a harpy. And of course, black woman with locks. I thought that was dope. She comes from a long line of sisters with locks, right? And what I like about this take on, and you know, again, Rick Riordan's book series is dope. I think Justin Ireland's take on, you know, the Greek gods is even doper, because she fleshes out the universe a lot better than Rick Riordan does in those five books. And I think it's because Rick Riordan focuses on the Greek gods and he kind of like leaves everybody else. And anybody else that's not a god is usually just evil, right? In this one, in Justin Ireland's take on it, you know, people like the harpies and stuff like that, it's not that they're bad, they're just misunderstood and mistreated and used and sometimes enslaved by their Greek gods. And I thought that was really, really dope take on it. So you get to see the Greek gods take it from a different light. Anyway, the main character is Zephyr Morning. I don't want to give it away, but she's a harpy, but she also learns that she's a demigod as well, right? So it's her, you know, her dad is a god. I'm not gonna reveal who that is. And you meet other characters who are the same way. They're these, you know, subhuman species, but the gods mess with them too, which, you know, that's happened in Greek mythology. So it's really dope. It's a quick read, and yes, it is young adult. But Justina Ireland deals with issues that adults deal with. And I'm going to just say this. A lot of young adult novels, they do deal with heavy adult issues. And she does that here. So highly recommend it. Definitely check out anything written by Justina Ireland, because you definitely won't regret it. Word. For episode 111, definitely want to shout out the homie CBest A Life Alive. We're going to bring you back, man. For real, for real. Shout out to the homie Misty Creates as well for the dope Geek Talks. I really, really appreciate you. And shout out to Capoeira Dayton. I love and miss y'all. I know we haven't trained in a bit because of the pandemic, but we're going to come back. And also shout out to my students that live in Columbus, Ohio. I'm here with you, man. For real, man. Be careful out there. Word. There you have it, folks. Another episode of Where My Killer Tape At. Again, I appreciate everybody for coming through and supporting. Definitely check out the website, omisbench.com, omisbench.com. And that's B-E-N-C-H, like a writer's bench. And definitely, I have merchandise on there. Well, I just have a coffee mug. But please support the show by purchasing a coffee mug, maybe for a loved one, if you don't drink coffee or tea. And definitely, if you want to hit me up, you can find me on the Twitters, the official Twitter for the podcast is Omis Podcast, O-M-I-S, so at Twitter, at Omis Podcast. And then if you just want to hit me up, it's at Dan Trezomi, D-A-N-T-R-E-S-O-M-I. If you want to continue the discussion online, again, the hashtag is Where My Killer Tape At, and killer spelled K-I-L-L-A. Definitely, I appreciate y'all once again, and I'll see y'all next time. Peace.